delegated.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We are all a part of God's great big family.
I'm the truth. I'm gonna go. I'm on the phone. I'm doing my radio show. Candy Potter for 1 hour. Don't go anywhere. Stay here. I said I'm doing my radio show. Welcome, welcome. Please excuse me for the bad reception if there is some on my end. I'm at a different place than usual. This is Bobby Elias, our show, Let's Create a Better World. We'll be talking about that today regarding animals, regarding love. I have two great guests who will be on today. Our show is Let's Create a Better World. Our second theme is Healthy Aging. And we're going to get started in a minute. Let's so you know. Next week, we're going to be into anti-aging with some new products. The week after that, Dr. Sarah Larson comes on to talk about a lot of great things. She's all, not only a guest, but a co-host on the show. And we're going to talk about, as one thing, anti-aging. All right? So please, above all, if I have any problems with the phone, please don't go anywhere. Our guest will continue to talk. All right. First guest is Ellie Sachs. She's the founder and director of The Gentle Barn. It's located in Santa Clarita, California, north of Los Angeles, south of San Diego, and the inner part of California. She has an animal sanctuary. She has a book called My Gentle Barn. This lady does a lot of great things, and that's why she's on the show. Welcome to the show, Ellie. How are you?
Thank you. Very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, because we're having a little trouble on this end on the phone situation. So if something happens and I get lost, continue to talk. And Dr. Sarah will be on at about 11, about 45 minutes after the hour. Okay, first of all, just tell our listeners a little bit about you and about animals and abuse. We'll get into the gentle barn a little later, but let's talk about just in general what you do and about you, your book, et cetera, for a few minutes. Go right ahead.
Sure. I think I was born loving animals. I think I've loved them from the minute I came out. I've always seen them as teachers, healers, and friends. They've always been my witnesses, and they've always been there to support me in my darkest hour and to let me know that I was lovable and that this life would be all right. So from the earliest age, I always loved them so much because they loved me so much. And I grew up on the East Coast, so if there were animals in the woods or the lakes that seemed injured, lost, or hungry, I would bring them home. And my little plan was to have a house full of animals that I would save, and they would be my friends. Unfortunately, I noticed that the people around me, my family, my parents, my siblings, my friends, my community, didn't see animals the way that I did. So I always had this deep desire to kind of show people how amazing animals are because I realized that not all of us see them for who they are. But I've always seen them as so intelligent and loving and wise. And if we really just listen for a minute, I think they're here to teach us a tremendous amount. So it's always been very important to me that we have a world that kind of not just honors people, but honors all species on this planet, and that we can live together as neighbors and be kind to one another. And that's always been very important to me.
Very beautiful. This is why I have you on the show, because I saw you at an event several weeks ago, and the dogs were right near you always. You continually petted them.
gave him so much love. Then your 8-year-old daughter runs up, she's next to you, and what do you do to her? Of course, give her lots of love with your hands, and you press her against your body. That is love. If more people in this world could even halfway, even one quarter of the way do what you do, we'd have a better world. And that's why I chose you to be on this show, because you exuded enormous amounts of love. And those 77 animals on your farm, they're blessed to have you there, and I'm sure you're blessed to have them there. Let's talk about animals and love and the abuse, why people do that, and a little more about what happens when the animals are abused and how you take care of them, please.
Sure. I don't see a great difference, actually, between abused people or abused animals. I think at the core of all of us, whether we're a horse, a cow, a pig, a chicken, a human, a child, an adult, man or woman, I think at the core of every single one of us is this desire to know that we're mattered, that we matter, to know that we're seen, and to know that we have value. And when we don't know those things, when we're in circumstances where we're not being heard or seen, respected or honored, it's very easy to get lost. And we have a choice either to act out because we're in pain or to shut down and not care anymore because we're in pain. And I've seen this happen with abused children and abused animals alike, that they really suffer when their environment is not respecting them and honoring who they are. And so at the Gentle Barn, whether it's a child or an adult or an animal, we give them a space where they can know that they matter. We give them a space where their voice is heard and their likes and dislikes and opinions are seen and respected. And all of a sudden, because of that, they start thriving. And it really just does seem to make a difference. In our healing process at the Gentle Barn, we believe that emotional healing is just as important, if not more important, than physical healing. So a lot of people approach healing animals from a very medical point of view, that, oh, if we just give them this drug or this medication and keep them in quarantine, that they'll get well. But I think there's a very emotional component towards it as well. And the emotional component is they have to have something to live for or their body's not going to recover. And so we not only tend to them physically, of course, but we also tend to them emotionally, and we make sure that they have a very safe environment, and we also make sure that they're not alone. We have volunteers. When we do rescues, we have volunteers working literally 24/7 for months. We sleep with them. We hold them. We sing to them. We read to them. We talk to them. We show them that they're not alone, and we paint the picture for them of how wonderful life can be if they can recover, that they'll always have fresh, green food. They will always have clean water. They will always have a gentle hand. They will always belong to us and feel that they matter. And with those words and those intentions, they seem to blossom. And the minute they have something to live for, then their bodies kind of follow suit and their bodies start recovering. So that's the magic at the Gentle Barn, is we really care about who they are as animals, but also as beings.
What you just said to the last few minutes is incredible. And if other people, human regular people that had an animal or a human being near them, if they could treat them with love. And by the way, for our listeners, I'm speaking to Ellie Sachs. She's the founder and director of the Gentle Barn. It's a sanctuary for 77, at last count, animals that have been severely, not just abused, but severely abused. And her farm, as you just heard, they give these people the kind of love you've never seen for hardly anybody. This is incredible love. And I am so blessed to have you on the show. And just, I'm blessed and feel important that we have people like you in this world. We need more people, may not do everything you're doing, but at least listen to these words that we're talking about. And by the way, our listeners, our next guest will be on at the last part of the show, and she's going to talk about the science of love. That is Dr. Sarah Larson, a once-in-a-while guest and a co-host of the show. So we're going to get into more about love. And let's talk about animals and the abuse of animals and how, in this country, in the world, in the U.S., whatever you know about how animals are abused, you can tie it in humans if you like, but why, how it's going on and what we can do to possibly make a change in that direction.
Yeah, I think that we're a product of conditioning. I think I think that all humans are born to automatically love animals. You know, you see children, and the minute they see animals, their eyes light up, they want to pet them, they want to be with them. All kids' movies, are the characters are animals. So there's absolutely a natural affinity that we have for animals when we're children. But as people get older, I think there's a conditioning that happens to start numbing that out. So, for instance, zoning laws. We don't allow farm animals to live in our neighborhoods. So they're kept on the outside, and there's a disconnect there where people grow up sometimes for their entire lives never having pet a horse or hugged a cow or cuddled a turkey or met a pig. And because it's out of sight, out of mind, there's no empathy. There's no connection to farm animals. And then we go to the grocery store and we have this stuff in packaging and we're kind of conditioned that you buy it, you season it, you barbecue it, and you eat it. And I think that there's a disconnect. And I think the minute that disconnect is dealt with, I think the minute that people are brought back around animals and they can look in their eyes and see how intelligent they are, they can have a chicken or a turkey jump in their laps and fall asleep and they can see how affectionate they are. They can have a cow wrap their necks around them and give them a proper hug and feel that unconditional love. Then there's a connection, there's empathy, there's mutual love and respect, and all of a sudden you start questioning the things that we've been conditioned to do and to eat and to wear and to buy and all the things that we do in our society that kind of cause that blindness and cause that disconnect. And I think that not only does the disconnect obviously affect animals and it affects what we eat and it affects that, but it also affects kind of empathy in general towards animals. And we've got an overpopulation with dogs and cats, and people kind of want to turn a blind eye to that. I think the most important thing, and that's why the Gentle Barn exists and why our goal is to have gentle barns in every state around the country, is because my mission is to reverse that disconnect and reconnect people to animals. And really the main message of the Gentle Barn, which is something that the animals have taught me from day one, is even though we all look different, we're all the same. So, yeah, some of us may have fur, some of us may have feathers, some of us may fly or swim or run on all fours, but in our hearts, regardless of what we look like and what species we are and what sounds we make, in our hearts, we are all the same. And that is something that children automatically know, but we forget as we get older. I meet people that come to the Gentle Barn all the time that give me these stories about how when they were little, they loved animals so much, and then as they grew, they kind of forgot about it, or maybe they were raised on farms where bad things happened to those animals, and they kind of accepted it as part of life. But there is, you know, something that children automatically know when we're young. We know that we're supposed to be neighbors and friends. We know that we're supposed to stay connected, and we know that we're supposed to be kind to each other. And then we lose that and forget that and get taught otherwise as we grow.
Absolutely beautiful. You know, every Thanksgiving in Los Angeles at a big park, they have what's called a vegan potluck, a veggie potluck party. It's a picnic. And I, last count, 200 people showed up last Thanksgiving, and I expect a few more this year. People bring food. We start in a big circle and pray and talk about good things, and then people eat. And what's beautiful about that is there's dogs running around, very, very full of love. And here's a good one for you. A few years ago, someone brought a turkey, a live turkey. The turkey was running around, and that person passed out flyers that said, turkeys have enormous amount of feelings. They're like us. But why, how in the world should we ever abuse them? That goes for every animal. And I'm going to turn that around to dogs. Dogs, Deli, I know you've got dogs. You've got great dogs, and you give them so much love. Dogs give us that unconditional love. I've seen people scold and yell and hit their dog, even this lady's dog coming up weeping and crying and wants to hug their owner and wants to get next to their owner. Dogs have this unconditional love. We need, as human beings, to learn to forgive people and not hold grudges and instead live with full of love. I'd like to get your take on love and dogs as for what I just said.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when kids visit the Gentle Barn, one of the very first things that we do is we go hug the cows. And I'm always telling them that the reason why it's so special to hug a cow is because it's kind of like hugging unconditional love. And that's how I feel whether I'm with a horse or a dog or a cat or my children or the cows, the turkeys. What animals seem to incorporate the best is this unconditional love, this idea that no matter what you do to me, I'm going to love you. And they really do. I mean, animals teach me how to be a better human every single day because they're always teaching me how to be more loving and how to be more forgiving and how to be more trusting and how to live more in the moment instead of worrying about the past or the future. And they have so many gifts to give us if we just sit still and allow them to teach us. And that's what I needed most when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I was lonely. I didn't feel like I fit in my family. I felt like I was different. I wasn't very accepted. And animals were always the ones that showed me how lovable I was. And they gave me such unconditional love that they really, truly saved me. And, you know, you hear so many stories of... We have this incredible story that happened at the Gentle Barn, actually, a few years ago, where this senior man with early-onset Alzheimer's came to the barn. And the minute he saw the animals, he started smiling, and he started holding them and kissing them and running around the barnyard. And every few minutes or so, he would come racing back to me and say, "Oh, my God, thank you so much. This is so amazing." And he was playing with the dogs and the cows and the turkeys and the pigs. And I just thought that, like, he was just having a great time. But when I turned around to look at the counselors, their mouths were wide open and their jaws, like, hit the ground. And so I asked them, "What's wrong? Is everything okay?" And they said, "You don't understand. That man hasn't spoken for 6 months." They said, "This is the first time he's spoken a word in 6 months." So here's this man kind of trapped in his old age. Maybe he suffered a lot of losses. I don't know if he had a family or not. But he was trapped in his own world, in his own mind, with early onset Alzheimer's and didn't speak at all. And then all of a sudden he stepped into the barnyard and he was surrounded by so much unconditional love and so much joy that he recognized from when he was a boy that it brought him back and it filled him with life and filled him with joy. And he just spent the day running around loving the animals and letting them love him. And it was really powerful, like the healing ability that animals have on us. It is just life-changing. And I think it all stems because of their unconditional love.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. Let's talk about how they kill animals, how they torture them, let me tell you a little story on my end. I live near, there's two Chinatowns in Los Angeles, the old one and the new one. And I was in the new one, and a friend of mine came to me and said, "Bob, did they... they offered me a job at the Chinese restaurant." I said, "What's the job?" "I got to go get a dog, dead or alive, bring it to the restaurant, and they're going to kill it, chop it up, and serve it to the people." I said, "Don't do it." I told him why, and he listened to me. I said, "That was just awful and ugly. We need to report these people," and we did. This is the way people... I want to talk to you and get your take on what goes on in these farms, in these slaughterhouses, and how they treat animals, how they kill them, torture them, cut them up, and how they live in small cages, and that's what people are eating when they eat meat. And, you know, so I want to get your take on all the ugly abuse going on around the world, how they treat animals, and tie that in, if you could, to eating less meat or eating no meat. As I do, and many of the people on this radio station and radio show, we there are people listening that do eat some meat, but we're telling them to eat less and less, and we're talking about that on this show. I'd like your take on how and why, what happens with animals and what you know about it, because I'm sure you're fully aware of it. Well, let it ahead, please.
Well, Bob, I think we have an insidious problem in our society, and that is, you know, I think maybe several hundred years ago when we had little individual family farms and the people knew that the animals were their livelihood, and so they would treat them more kindly. Maybe there was an ethic of treating them nicely and knowing that they were kind of their bread and butter. But those farms don't exist today. Today, the meat and dairy industry have been taken over by factory farming. Factory farming is inherently cruel because it's not this lovely family farm where the animals kind of walk around and eat the grass and they're treated more humanely, even though ultimately they end up being slaughtered or whatever happens to them. But in factory farming, it's completely different. In factory farming, it's these huge, massive operations where they have thousands of animals in cramped conditions. And the people who are going to get jobs at those factory farms are not going to be animal-loving people. There's no way. They would never, an animal lover would never get a job over there. And if they did, they wouldn't last more than half a second. So inherently, the people that choose to work at these factory farms are people that, to begin with, do not respect animals and don't have any empathy towards them. So now you're going to have these huge factory farms where the animals are kept in tiny, cramped conditions because the more animals they have, the more money they make. So it's all about the bottom dollar. So it's all about more animals, more space, more cramped conditions, and it's staffed by people who inherently have no empathy. Well, I mean, that is a disaster waiting to happen. Nothing good is going to happen in that scenario. So now you have animals that are absolutely at the mercy of these monsters that have no empathy. So they're not going to be fed right. They're not going to be cleaned right. To move them or handle them in any way, they're going to be very brutal. And, of course, the slaughtering, anyone that's capable of slaughtering an animal is someone that has no empathy or respect for the animal. So they're not going to do it gently because they have the frame of mind that the animal has no feelings to begin with. So it's like if I had a table that I didn't want, the manner in which I would just chop that table up to make into firewood and not care about the feelings of the table, that's the way that people work in slaughterhouses. They're handling the animals like they were a table, chopping up into pieces as if they were that unwanted table and making it into firewood. There's no empathy that goes into that job. The animals are at the mercy of that cruelty. And there's no way to make it better because, again, animal-loving, empathetic, sweet, gentle people are not going to work in those facilities. So there's an inherent problem that causes that cruelty and maintains that cruelty. And the only way that that cruelty is going to stop, the only way that animals are going to live better lives, is when people stop eating the meat, when there's no more demand for that meat. I think that, you know, it's really interesting because in talking about evolution, we talk about how, like, you know, thousands of years ago, we were all in the ocean, and then something climbed up onto the shore and grew legs, and eventually we, you know, learned to walk upright. So the evolution of man, right? So there's a different evolution that's happening now. That's one evolution, which is kind of a physical evolution. But I think from now on, it's no longer a physical evolution, but rather an evolution of the spirit. From here on out, the evolution that's going to take place is the evolution of understanding that all species are the same, we just look different. The evolution of understanding that we don't need to live any longer on the exploitation of another species or eating another species or wearing another species. I think we're going to start understanding that we can live and thrive on this planet being neighbors, and we don't have to exploit or eat or harm anyone else to do it. And the minute we get that concept, all of a sudden, animals are going to lead better lives, our bodies are going to flourish and be healthy and strong, and people are going to live longer, we're going to have less disease, and the planet itself will be more respected and protected, and we'll get to live here longer. And I think that that is the ultimate goal as a species, is to get to a place where we understand that we don't have to hurt anybody to live and thrive.
Absolutely. You know, Ellie, we had a guest on about a year ago, Cindy Sellers, who said pretty much the same thing you said a minute ago about how if we all were healthier, if we all ate better and didn't do all these horrible things, that we'd have a better world, period. Because I have been seeking out and coming up with a few answers as to the question is, how can we make this a better world? And you just answered it right there. Cindy Sellers, does major, major cleansing and body, very famous woman in Hawaii. She's been out here and spoken, and I've been there when she has, and she has several books about what we just said, about and just about health, about cleansing. But she's very adamant about how we stay healthy if our bodies, our minds are much, much better, and we do all the things that you and I are talking about now, then we could have a better world. Now, let's just change. We've only got a few minutes left, so I'd like you to give a quick talk about the Gentle Barn and then how people can reach you if they'd like to. Hold on, after I say something after that, I will have you maybe for final thoughts, and we're going to meet our next guest. My name is Bob Elias, by the way, and this is speaking with Ellie Sack-Alax. She is the founder and director of the Gentle Barn, for those of you just coming in right now. So go ahead and give us a little about the Gentle Barn and how people can reach you if they'd like to.
Sure. So the Gentle Barn is located in Santa Clarita, which is just 30 minutes north of Los Angeles, California. We specifically take in animals no one else wants. So there's lots of other rescues that do the wonderful work of rescuing animals and rehoming them. But what happens to the animals that are too old, too sick, too lame, or too scared to be adoptable? Well, typically, the other rescues don't want them, and the animal shelters put them down. So at the General Barn, we specifically take in animals no one else wants, and we bring them in and we rehabilitate them with vet care, but we also use acupuncture, acupressure, chiropractics, deep tissue massage therapy, ultrasound, ice therapy, water therapy, energetic healing, nutritional supplements, and lots of love. Once the animals are finally healed and happy here at the General Barn, then they help us heal people, heal children with the same stories of abuse and neglect. So basically, the Gentle Barn is a circle of healing. We heal the animals help us heal the children, and the children grow up to be kinder to animals. Currently, we have 170 animals, including horses, cows, pigs, sheep, goats, chickens, turkeys, peacocks, llamas, dogs, cats, donkeys, and a parrot. And it's amazing to be with these animals. And if people want to find out more about the Gentle Barn, they can look at gentlebarn.org. Go to our website, gentlebarn.org. They can also follow us on Facebook, the Gentle Barn. We're also on Twitter and Vine. And we're open to the public on Sundays from 10 to 2. So if anybody's local or coming out to California, they can come see us any Sunday from 10 to 2, meet the animals, hug the cows, cuddle the turkeys, and hear their inspirational stories of recovery. We also have an incredible Thanksgiving event. I heard you talk about the Thanksgiving potluck, which is amazing, and I actually attended those many years ago. But now the General Barn has its own Thanksgiving where people can come out and we cuddle the turkeys and we give them pie and cranberries and we celebrate their life. And then we have a delicious gourmet plant-based feast, which, I mean, is unbelievable that Gardein is providing. And then after dinner, we have a beautiful Native American drum circle where a Native chief tells stories and we celebrate Native American culture as well, along with the turkeys. So it's a wonderful day celebrating life and gentleness. So I hope that people who are listening to this can come out and visit the General Barn and visit the website, gentlebarn.org, and get involved somehow. But I wanted, Bob, to say something to that you were saying earlier about just kind of creating a gentle world. And my belief is that in order to create a more gentle world, we need to be more gentle people. When we were fighting the civil rights movement, when there was horrible cruelty and prejudice against people of darker skin tone, and there was a civil rights movement, it was really kind of fought with demonstrations and, you know, the Civil War and all that stuff. I think this change is not going to happen by any kind of war between the states or any kind of, you know, big, huge war. I think that this war, the war of to end cruelty and the war to embrace more peace and more gentleness in our society, is really going to be in the hands of the individual. When there's enough of us that say, you know what, we are not going to buy this anymore. We are not going to put our money, we're not going to spend our money on violence and on cruelty and on war and on destruction anymore. We are going to put our dollars onto peace and kindness and gentleness and life. The minute enough of us put our dollars on gentle causes, the companies are going to start realizing where the dollars are to be made, and they're going to start changing. So meat companies are going to start carrying more soy products and seitan products and non-dairy products. The companies are going to shift with the demand of society. So it really is in the hands of the individual to practice more gentleness, to spend money on gentle causes, to wear gentle clothing, and to eat gentle food. And when that happens, we will have a more kind world.
Absolutely. Great. Don't go away. If you just a few more quick minutes, Dr. Sarah Larson will be on the phone any minute now. Dr. Sarah, are you there yet? Not yet. Okay, she'll be on in 1 or 2 minutes, I think. And what I want to let you know is we're going to talk about the science of love with Dr. Sarah. I'm Bobby Elias with Let's Create a Better World. We're finishing up with L-A-K-S, the founder and director of the General Barn. You know, what you just finished saying about gentle, I'm glad you said it before. I was going to say that I love that name in your show and I mean, in your sanctuary. That name is such a key word. Aside from love, being gentle is what we need in this world. People to learn to be gentle with not just animals, with each other, with the environment, with everything. This whole whole world is getting destroyed by climate change because people aren't gentle or loving or caring about the planet. Everybody just out to make money, big corporations. And they're destroying not only the Earth, but they're destroying us, each other. So you've got to, I'd like you to go ahead and take another 2 or 3 minutes, if you have the time, for your final thoughts about covering the whole thing, and that Sarah comes in, she'll probably be listening to you. Go right ahead.
Sure. Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. When you go into a used car dealership, you know they're trying to sell you. You know they're trying to make money. So you kind of use your smarts, and you do your own research, and you check out your own stuff, and you make sure that you're getting a car that's going to actually run, right? Everybody, you know, knows that. But all of a sudden, in the meat and dairy industry, we're all of a sudden trusting their genuine intentions to feed us wholesome product. And it kind of makes me giggle, like, they're out to make money, just like a car dealer. They are selling products to make money. That's it. They're making commercials on television to make money. So the minute we kind of see them in that vantage point, the minute we start recognizing big companies and corporations as people who are trying to make money, they don't have any idealistic virtues. They're not trying to do what's best for us. They're trying to make money. So the minute you see them that way, then you can start doing your own research, using your own mind, making your own decisions, and not being led by these big corporations. And I think this entire country is led by big corporations. We're led by the pharmaceutical companies. We're led by the dairy industry. We're led by the meat industry. And it's creating disease, and it's making us sick, and it's ruining the environment, and it's making really bad things. So, again, the minute we recognize that and choose for ourselves to be involved with companies that honor the planet, to be involved with companies that let animals be healthy and happy and don't cause cruelty and suffering, the minute we're eating fresh, live fruits and vegetables that are feeding our bodies, we'll be healthier, the animals will be happier, the planet will be happier and healthier, and things are really, really going to change. So it's really up to us. It's really up to us to evolve in that way and to open our minds and open our hearts and be more loving and be more gentle. And once we've done that, we'll have a more gentle world. And so there's a calling that's going out to every single one of you, every single person, to say, what can you do in your life to be more gentle? Can you maybe buy more man-made clothing? Can you eat more fruits and vegetables? Can you eat less meat? How about switching to almond milk? It tastes really great. It's really good for your body. It doesn't hurt anybody. What ways in every single person's life can they start making more gentle choices? And it's an evolution. I think that everybody is evolving at their own pace. So some of us are there already. Some of us adopt a plant-based diet, and we're there. Some people are evolving, and that's okay. I think it's okay for the people that are transitioning and trying this on. But I think the urge needs to be that we're urging people to start evolving, to start thinking for themselves, to start seeing in what areas we can be kinder, we can be more gentle, we can do more for others and for ourselves.
Excellent. That is well said. You know, Ellie, this is what you just said, and much of what you said in this whole show is one of the best shows I've ever had, because we're talking about love to animals, love to human beings, and you're answering the question in a large degree about let's create a better world. And I would like to have you on again. I'm going to have a panel of 2, 3, 4 people and myself as a moderator, and we're going to talk about that very subject in 1 hour, about what we can do. Some of the things you've said over the last 10 to 15 minutes have been just that, about how we need to change things to make it a better world. And you just gave some answers, and we talk about that on the show. So I'm going to check with your staff to see when you're available to do another tape like today, and to get you on again, so we can talk about how we can create a better world.
Yeah. I would love that, Bob. I'd love to come back. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you so much for being here, and keep up the great work. And, oh, one more thing. Dr. Sarah, are you there? Are you listening? Not yet. I'm going to invite Dr. Sarah. I'm going to invite a few people to come, and I'm going to come myself to your general barn on a Sunday. Our associate producer is really into animals, Stuart Hassel. I've gone with him to an animal conventions, and we've had animal guests, vegan guests. Your stuff was just so wonderful. I want to get a CD made up of this show today, because I use it. I have meetings. We're called the Gary Merrill Health Support Group, and we have meetings with a lot of people. We have meetup groups, and we do a lot of talking about health and about how we can make this a better world. So I'll be in touch with you. Thank you again for everything. You're wonderful.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to have you out here.
Bobby Elias, I'm so grateful to be on your show, and I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I heard a little bit of a space.
Can you hear me now better?
I can hear you much better. Thank you so much.
Okay. Speak about the science of love, and let me introduce you quickly. Dr. Sarah Larson is a holistic doctor. She is intuitive, a medical intuitive, and she's a spiritual counselor, and she is a third-generation palm reader. She is great, full of love, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. Go right ahead, Dr. Sarah.
Well, thank you so much. And one of the greatest things that I get to marry all the Eastern philosophy and Western philosophies of healing that I've learned over the past, I would say, good 20 years. I've taken a lot of time to learn the basics of science and learn the basics. And I was taught by my grandmother to be in Eastern philosophy, taught palmistry. What's really amazing is there are signposts all over our body that tells us what's going on inside of ourselves. And there is now so much evidence showing that our eyes can reflect are better predictors for if there's going to be a stroke or a myocardial infarction. Someone looking in and being able to see the different blood vessels and the different things. And I know that science is catching up with us with palmistry as well, with the hand being able to show what's happening inside the body. One of the things that we know it is just common knowledge that stress is the number one factor determining our ability to heal and our wellness. And so this is one of the things that it's so important to incorporate love into your life. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to bring home an animal, a cat, a dog, something that's rescued from a shelter. Also, the ability to take care of or be in service to the people and things around you wind up being one of the biggest factors in our ability to heal. Having something to live for, and animals in Yale studies and Harvard studies, there's been a lot of studies. The first one that I saw started coming around in about 2001 that demonstrated that we, with animals, with cats and dogs in our home, we reduce the levels of cortisol in our bloodstream. They did one study with people with heart attacks. And those that had a myocardial infarction or a heart attack, those that had pets at home had a better one-year survival rate. And the numbers were quite astonishing. Pets bring up the good hormones in our body, oxytocin. They bring up serotonin levels. We have a little puppy in our life. I call her a little puppy, even though she's about almost 2 years old now. Our little sweet dog is a Chihuahua Terrier mix, and she was a rescue. And when we initially got her, she was supposed to be, we were told she was going to be a very small dog because, based on what they thought the parenting was. She turned into a little bit bigger of a dog than we thought, but we call her Angel. And every time we walked in the door, even if it's just been a minute that we've been away, her tail wags, and it's like she hasn't seen us in 100 years. And with all of the work that I do with multiple radio stations, with my coaching practice, with the charity work that I do, no matter what is going on, the second I walk in the door, an angel comes down and greets me, everything kind of melts away from that experience. And we're documenting how much now, like in 2008, the Alzheimer's studies started to be done with people that are older, and if they had a dog to care for, they were better able to reverse some of the diagnosis from the different stages within Alzheimer's. And even beyond that, it winds up showing and extending our life if we have a pet in our life. Service to the world, service to your neighborhood, service to your family has also been shown to do that.
Excellent. This is great. We've still got a few minutes left, and Science of Love. The earlier part of the show, Dr. Sarah, was about animals, the abuse of animals. We tie that into the fact that, that our guest who runs the Gentle Farm, and by the way, she invited you and I to come there. The Gentle Farm is in Santa Clarita. It's a beautiful farm. Hundreds of animals.
If you have your volume went down, but I want to speak to our ability to connect with one another.
Okay.
And our ability
go right ahead. Go right ahead.
One of the things that I've found is when we're connected to our heart and when we're connected to internal forces within us that drive us, so our own inspiration, when we're connected to being moved by art or by experiences around us, when we're deeply feeling what's occurring in the environment or what deeply moves us, we're better able to live and be well, able to fight off infection. When we're in a state of not being connected to ourselves or to what our heart desires or to our environment, we are more susceptible to infection. We're more susceptible to the stressors that are out in the environment, such as smoke toxins, and chemical toxins that might be in our home. We are more as, and this is what studies have been showing, when we're able to know what we want, connect to it and feel moved by and give ourselves those things, we are more resilient to any sort of infection, any sort of anything that debilitates our body. And many times there's been stories that someone will say someone is not well in the hospital, and they'll hear a 73-year-old woman that her granddaughter is getting married. This is a story that Bernie Siegel shared a few times, and she got well enough to leave the hospital to be able to go to her granddaughter's wedding, because that was something that she really connected to inside of herself and wanted to be able to experience. And so her body automatically went into a healing state to get her well enough to attend the hospital. One of the things that for you that's listening, to really listen to, if you're in any sort of state of dis-ease or stress, to really focus not on that dis-ease or that stress, but to focus on what really motivates you and inspires you. And then as the symptoms or as the limitations of the illness start showing up, you start imagining yourself experiencing those things, such as a granddaughter's wedding, or experience being able to communicate with a dear loved one in a different city, or being able to create something that is a little bit of a legacy that gives to future generations. It's something that your heart desires authentically within yourself. That winds, and you take little baby steps in that direction, and it's amazing what symptoms or what discomfort start being alleviated or reversed because you're bringing in things that bring you joy, that bring down the stress hormones in your body.
That's beautiful. Dr. Sarah, we've got to wind it down. You're going to be on again in 3 weeks. questions. I would love you to continue what you're doing right now. You're talking. You want to give your contact information? I've only got a minute left for that, and get ready for the finish of the show.
And so the best way to reach me, I think that's what you said, is my website or Facebook. I'm Dr. Sarah Larson, Dr. Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, Larson, LARSEN.com. And I love to help everyone that comes to me achieve what they're here to do, achieve it with their body, achieve it with their thoughts, achieve it with their spirit, that parts of us can't be seen. I've got great content that shows up every week on my Facebook page. And right now, I've got on my Facebook page, on Dr. Sarah Larson, on Facebook, all these different things, healing things that you can do with Epsom salts. Epsom salts have been around for a long, long time. And so if you will find my Facebook page, you'll find what we can do with Epsom salts. I've got some great recipes up for the holiday season as well that allow your body to be healthier on Facebook. Lots of stuff that you can do with pumpkin and pumpkin seeds.
Dr. Sarah, that's what we're about, how people get ready for the holidays. So that's real important.
And so I know, Bobby, we'll be talking again really, really soon about how to navigate the holidays.
You're wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much, Bobby. I'm so grateful to be of service to you and to the Progressive Radio Network and to all the listeners. I really want for us that, you know, we're only as strong as our weakest link.
Right.
And so I want us all to be as strong as possible because we're
excellent,
in this
excellent.
Together.
All right. Thank you so much. You're the best. You're full of love. And this show is full of love, thanks to people like you. Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. And sorry we're having trouble with the phone off and on. Okay, let me wind it up. I want to thank a lot of people, but first let me say, the theme of the show is Healthy Aging and Let's Create a Better World. Engineer, when I got to get off, just get the music coming softly, if you don't mind. Next week, Healthy Aging. My phone number, if people want to call me, 323-322-7231. Thank you to the producers of this show, to Jay, the producer in New York, our engineer today, Jay, our other gentleman, Casey, out there in New York, the studio, doing lots of great work, our L.A. producer, Jimmy D, our associate producer, doing a workload of things, Stuart Hassel, and thank you for being on this show, and we will see you again. Have a great week, next Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. So long.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh.